During those first weeks and months at the cabin, my close and constant companions were trees. I became intimately acquainted with every tree inside a 400-foot radius. What at first seemed like a dense stand of random, temperate zone vegetation, maples, spruces, hemlocks, beeches, birches, and pines, gradually introduced itself as an orderly congregation of unique individuals. The Four Sisters, a neatly spaced row of red spruces, stood practically within spitting distance of my sleeping loft. A trio of the same species clustered behind and above the dock, acting as friendly navigational aids against night skies. An enormous white pine leaned above the outhouse, and another rose straight as a lighthouse on the point near the rocks. A forest of young firs graced the high shoreline from the side of the cabin almost down to the creek. Five more prodigious spruces loomed from a wet pocket of ground beyond the woodshed, while under them, a few spindly youngsters stretched for the sun. I came to touch them all through trimming, pruning, clearing, cutting, admiring, and listening. The first trees I got to know, and later draw strength from, were the mature, towering red spruces and white pines. These were highly skilled veterans, seasoned in survival techniques. They had started fortuitously as seedlings upon rich, sun-dappled parches of earth. They had escaped being nibbled by snowshoe hares, mice, grouse, or deer. They had shouldered past their siblings and finally pushed above the forest canopy into the free blue sky where swallows wheeled in summer and snowflakes whirled in winter. Here, all the sunlight on any given day was theirs to activate the chlorophyll-laden needles, and all the rain of any given storm was theirs to wash the thick branches. These trees had survived attacks of smuts, aphids, mites, molds, beetles, galls, caterpillars, viruses, and the other miniature life-robbing enemies of the plant world. They had also escaped being scratched by falling limbs, ripped by bear's claws, chafed by trunks, or rubbed by deer antlers. Likewise, they had been unscathed by forest fires and bypassed by hurricanes. And so, in 1964, a goodly 300 years after their germination, they towered as invincible individuals of great character, lending dignity and beauty to my land. I developed an amazing awareness of these trees. First, I noticed their noises. In wind, the spruces gave off a somber, deep, sad whoosh, while the pines made a higher, happier, softer sough. After my initial surprise at the differences in sound between these two species, I began listening to other kinds of trees.